Hello everyone, welcome to the Cyber Weekly. The Cyber Weekly is a podcast where we talk about cybersecurity with me, the Gracious Okello, and Josephine Olok, my co-host. Today we are in our humble podcast, as Josephine says. We welcome Olivia Rose. Olivia Rose.
Olivia Rose is a CISO. Her education began at Penn State University, where she did a Bachelor's of Arts. Then it followed with several certificates in cybersecurity, among them being CISIM, CCSK, CISP, Network Plus, Security Plus, PCI DSS, among others. Then, when it came to work, her work experience began at CenturyLink, where she was a manager, then followed by Inflow, where she was a manager, Avaya Communication, where she was a senior manager, then IBM, where she was a senior security consultant. Solutionary, where she started as a security consultant, senior security consultant, then manager, security consulting service manager. Control Scan, she worked as a director of security services. QLoad Secure, where she was the vCISO, which is virtual CISO. Qdelsky, where she was the principal advisor, global strategy and governance. Then she transitioned to director, global executive risk. Then followed by MailChimp, where she was a CISO. Then Amplitude, where she was also a CISO. Then IANS, IANS, where she was a faculty member, CISO, and executive advisor. Diversity, where she worked as a board member. Then finally, Rose CISO Group, where she currently is.
Olivia, before we continue, Josephine, do you have anything to say?
Just to say, hi, Olivia. You're welcome to the podcast. Really, really honored to have you on our show.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
I'm excited. So, let's just dive in. So the first thing is, Olivia, tell us about yourself.
So I have been in cybersecurity about 22 years. Can't imagine doing anything else. I don't think I could do anything else. I'm not qualified. But so I spent most of that time in consulting, security consulting, and then I went in-house and became a CISO, a Chief Information Security Officer, CISO, twice. And I left about over a year ago, started my own consulting business, where now I am a what they call a virtual CISO, and to come in and help out other CISOs with their strategy, their governance, their road mapping, their security programs, running their show, that type of work. So I think I like this much better. It's less stressful than being a CISO, but I'm glad I was. I tried it. Yeah.
So is there any reason why you went into cybersecurity? Was there something that specifically pulled you, or, I mean, why did you get into it?
I had no idea cybersecurity even existed. I mean, I was in marketing. I didn't know what to do, so I tried marketing, and I was in marketing at ISS, Internet Security Systems, which was one of the first security companies. And so I started understanding it then. And how I actually got into cybersecurity was that I was supporting the consulting team at ISS. And I looked at them and I thought, I can do that. I mean, why not? You know, like every young person who is a little not clear on what they want to do. I said, sure, why not? And so I joined the consulting team And have stayed in it ever since. So that's why I always say you can learn security. Everyone can learn security. If I managed to learn security, anyone can learn security. So, and become really good in it. So because that's what happened. That's what I did.
Yeah, you're putting yourself down. I'm sure you're pretty smart.
Yeah, the body station is overselling ourselves too short.
Well, yeah, you're underselling yourself.
No, I'm saying back then. I thank you, but back then I really didn't know. So whatever. You, want. You know, I was young.
Yeah. Your confidence of you. Yeah.
Yeah, the confidence of
you. Yes. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
So, what does the Rose CISO Group do?
Well, I already explained a little bit of it. It's a lot of CISOs come into their roles and they have limited budget or resources, or they're just new CISOs. And to come into any CISO role, it's difficult. It's not easy. It's one of the toughest jobs out there, especially in cybersecurity. So I realized what my strengths were to help out new CISOs and people who had limited resources and staff. I realized that I could help them out and give them all the support and the resources and get them up and running, giving them confidence, but also helping them build out the strategy or revising their strategies, building out their roadmaps, looking at what they've done so far, or just helping out. One of my clients, I've been there for over a year. I'm just helping out, doing whatever they need to get done, and it's working out great. So there's many things that it does. And I also have partnerships with other security leaders, that if there's a job that I don't know how to do, which, you know, there are definitely some, I can pull them in because they do it much better than I can.
Yeah. So that was your motivation to found Rose, I imagine, to help others. But essentially, you are setting up your own company. So yes. What were the what challenges did you face, and how did you navigate, you know, the entrepreneurship journey, the risks, the challenges, and the uncertainties that setting up on your own are likely to bring?
Well, there's always a fear of failure, right?
Yeah.
How do you get clients?
Yeah.
So it was November 2022 when I started it. And I spent all of November, all of December, just taking it easy, talking with other people who were successful already doing this work, building out my website, building out what I could offer. And there's always this fear of, oh no, what if I don't get any clients? But then I landed my first one in January, and then I always say, once you get the first one, usually the rest come. You just need to get that first one, the big fish. And that's what happened. And so I've been very, very, very fortunate, very lucky, very fortunate. I'm very thankful that other clients have come. And so I try to help out other people who want to go into this as well, to get over that fear. Because if you do it right, it will happen to you.
Yeah, I mean that's fun. That's amazing. So three months, or should I say, through 2 months after you set up. Yeah, that's amazing. Well done, yeah. You.
Yeah, I was. To be honest, I didn't work very hard because it was December. I took some time off. So yeah, but it was 2 months, and
yeah.
Very, very, very fortunate.
No, but that's really good. Yeah, that's a great, great story. Yeah. Theo?
Yes, I was looking at the next question. It is too long. Anyways.
Do you want me to ask it?
Yeah.
Honestly, okay, I wrote the question, so it's probably why he doesn't like the question. He
He's
likes
writing
this
an answer
one
instead of the question.
Yeah, but it's we're talking here, right? Okay, so So I, of course, I had to do a bit of research about you, and you developed the SBTF.
Yes,
sounds very, very fantastic. Security to Business Translation Framework for Effective Communication with Board and Leadership. Now, what practical strategies have you found most effective when you in simplifying and communicating cyber risk to not a technical audience, which we know most of our board members are, mm-hmm. And also ensuring that they understand the importance of cybersecurity investments and controls? Been long, but I hope you got it.
I got it. Yeah. Well, first of all, I had to say Dio would join the mentorship program sessions every week. And he always was just so happy, such a good spirit, you know, as you've seen here. But spent a lot of time. As you just mentioned, you're talking to non-technical people in those roles. They're business. So they're the CFO. Yeah. They focus on marketing. They focus on legal and privacy and, operations. So they don't quite understand all of the security concepts and the technical jargons that we understand. So you have to translate it to get them to resonate. So that means you have to customize your message by, one, the type of industry you're in, what type of company you are, because manufacturers, for example, have a very different set of security priorities than financial services or retailers. So first you have to make it resonate by aligning with the industry you're in and the specific pressures that come with that industry for security. And then the second thing you need to align with is how does each person that you're trying to get this message to resonate with, how do they view the world? What do they think is important when it comes to cybersecurity? And the way you do that is to align with what they think is important as part of their function. So marketing is all about bringing on new customers, keeping current customers happy. Human resources is about onboarding, terminating people, making sure their access is cut off in a timely way, making sure you're giving them access when they start in a timely way. So each group or function has its own priorities that are not security priorities. So for you to get across your message to them as to, I need you to do something for me. I need you in HR to start doing background checks on new employees. I need you to do that. They might say, that does not fit on our roadmap for 2024, maybe in 2025. So then what do you say? So you have to make it matter to them, which is what they would care about with background checks is, we will reduce the risk of hiring people with a criminal record. We will make other employees feel more comfortable to have individuals working with them who have undergone background checks. So these are the things they care about. So you have to translate to them. And then they go, oh, now I understand why you want background checks done. Okay, how do I do this? And then you give them very simple and easy ways of getting what you need them to get done. It's all about persuasion and influence. And it's easier said than done. It takes work and it takes practice. But there is nothing more valuable than getting someone to do something that you need them to do when they don't want to do it. Right? And then they do it and everybody's happy. There's nothing more valuable than that. You're protecting the company then altogether.
Yeah. Sometimes if your audience is the CFO, you need to make an investment in something that is technical. I know they talk figures, and it's not always easy to translate that into a benefit for the CFO. How would you handle that?
Well, CFOs love reducing costs, right? They love to save money for the company.
Yeah.
That's what they do. So if you can somehow figure out, maybe it's automation. Maybe you're trying to put in automation. How does that save the company money now or in the long run? You have to spin the message to them. And so then they go, oh, okay. She just doesn't want to spend my money. She wants to spend my money and then save me money. And it's for the good of the company. So that's the message that you get across.
Yeah.
Okay, let me try to read this question.
Theo, your turn.
Hopefully I'll read it well. So what advice would you give fellow CISOs to enhance their communication skills and influence decision-making at the board and executive leader level?
Well, I think I covered one already, but I think it's important enough to cover again, which is they typically are not tech people. So they don't understand tech jargon, but more importantly, they don't understand why they're supposed to care. And I see this over and over and over again. So a common statistic or data point CISOs give to their board of directors because they think they want to see it is our phishing test results. So we sent out 1,000 phishing test emails last quarter and 500 clicked on it. So that's bad. 50% clicked on it. But now this quarter, we sent out another one to 1,000 people and 30% clicked on it. So aren't we great? And they always show this graph of that goes down of like, oh my gosh, we went down from 50% to 30%. We're amazing. So what does the board do? They sit there and they go, it looks good. I mean, it seems like I should be happy about this, right? I mean, I think it's good that fewer people clicked on the phishing test link. I think that's a good thing, but I really don't understand at the end of the day, how is this going to benefit the company? I really don't get it, but I'm not going to ask, because then I'm going to look like an idiot in front of everybody else who's sitting there going, looks good, right? But everyone's thinking the same thing. So something like that is you got to look at the immediate effect of doing those phishing tests versus the long-term effect. And the long-term is what your is really the business reason for doing it. It's how executives think. So the immediate effect of it is, oh, great. 20% fewer people seem to understand how to recognize phishing. Great. Okay, we're reducing risk. Risk is a big word. We're reducing risk. But instead of presenting it that way to them, say in 2 to 3 years, our goal is to have that number be closer to zero than 30%. And this is why. Because phishing is the number one way still of introducing bad things into our company. That's how we're going to reduce risk. But not only that, because we are showing such improvements in 2 to 3 years, we can then, or even before then, we can confidently say to our customers, you can trust us with your data. You can trust us to connect to your environment, because this is one piece of the overall security program and controls that we're putting in. So executives will go, ah, so what she's saying is 2 to 3 years, okay, probably before, we're going to increase customer trust, which means customer satisfaction, which means they'll tell their friends, which means increased revenue. That's how you have to lead them to water, sometimes dragging and screaming, but lead them to water and say, this is how, you may not see it now, but we will gain revenue from these efforts we're putting in now. You have to put the story together for them to understand that. So that's the advice that I give, is learn how to do that. Sometimes it's not comfortable to start to learn how to do that, but once you do, it's more, you start to do it more naturally.
I see where the six figures are coming from.
Yeah, I mean, the number of times I sit on boards as well, and I try to let them present, you know, the technical people present. So when I sit on a board, I'm not putting on my IT hat. So we get a report that says these number of employees, there were so many phishing emails, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I always ask, so then what? You've showed us the figures. What do they mean? What do you want the board to do with those figures? I know completely why they're representing it, but they're not telling the story. So I'm hoping that I will share this podcast with some of those people so that they can really start telling a story. Because figures don't mean anything if there is nothing to you know, you're just showing me figures, a trend of something. But it doesn't say anything, right? Yeah. I'll definitely share this with them, because it's quite frustrating to try and educate them on, okay, so if you're the less phishing emails over a trend, perhaps there's more better employee awareness, etc. But still, yeah. So thank you very much for articulating that. That's really helpful.
Good.
So as someone who's mentored a lot of women and underrepresented minorities, I know you in cybersecurity, I know you're a member of Cybersity. What have you found?
Oh,
you
not were?
Anymore. Oh, right. Okay. I'm sorry about that. I thought you still were. So what have you found to be the biggest obstacles for women and underrepresented minorities when they're trying to pursue careers in cybersecurity? And what advice can you give them?
I come from the position that the world is your oyster. The world is yours to take. And yes, it is harder for you. I am not sugarcoating this. You have to work harder than someone who is in the majority. That's the brutal, realistic truth of life. It's that way for everything, right? So you have to, instead of taking this victim mentality of, it's going to be so much harder for me, so I don't want to even try. I've seen that so many times. And I always say, no, you have to turn that around. It's good to be different. You have to know your value. You have to learn your value, and you need to be different, because there are many, many people who do things the same way in cybersecurity, and it doesn't work. We know it doesn't work, right? We know this, it's obvious. But what works are these new diverse opinions and thoughts and ways of doing things. So I have never, ever done anything the way that books tell you to do it, or people presenting at conferences tell you to do it. I never do it. I think and I think and I think on it. And then one day it goes click. That's how I'm going to do it. And sometimes doesn't work out so well, right? But most of the time it does. And that's what I say, double down. I double down on that. And I say, I am going to take this all the way, as far as I can take it. And so women and underrepresented minorities, if you are not in the majority, realize your power of doing things differently. What you're missing is the confidence. You're missing the confidence because the security world is dying for solutions. We're desperate for services that work, products that work, anything that will help us. And we can't keep doing it the same way we've been doing it. It doesn't work. That's obvious. So get that security. Join. Don't just hang out in associations that are geared towards minorities. Use them as support. Get support from them. But you have to learn how to have the confidence to play what I call with the big boys, right? The majority. And I've always focused on doing that myself. I love my women groups. I love them. I have friends. I have support system with my women in cybersecurity. But I know how to play with the majority. I know how to get on a stage and not be interrupted on a panel, for example, right? You have to learn how to play with the boys. You have to be liked. You do. You will be accepted. I was just talking with someone yesterday. Men in cybersecurity want diversity. Men are big supporters of diversity. You'd be very surprised, but they are. They just don't know how to go about it because they don't want to overstep. They don't want to offend the person, right, who's not in the majority. If you are diverse and in the minority, if you have the confidence to reach out to these people like Dio does, right? Like you reached out to one of your guests coming up. If you have the confidence to reach out to these people, you will get it back in spades. You will get it back fruitfully. But what I often find, and it's one of the most irritating things I see, are, and I speak for women because I'm a woman, right? What I see so many times are just women not having that confidence or being scared. Just go do it already. And if you do it, I promise you, you will fail every now and then, but you got to look at failure as, I don't fail, I learn. That's how I look at it. I learn from it. It's not a failure. But most of the time, the whole world will open up to you. And that's something I learned very early on in my career, is I'm not going to sit back just because I'm the only woman I know in cybersecurity and I don't know any other women. I'm not going to sit back and just sit in the corner of the room. I'm going to show the majority that I'm cool. I'm smart. I know what I'm talking about most of the time. But there are women like me out there. But these women need to get that confidence. And it drives me crazy when I don't see it. But when I do see women doing it, I'm like, go, 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 sister, go. But it can be done. Just get that confidence. Get over the insecurity. It's killing your career success. I mean, Josephine, look how well you've done. Do you think you were this successful just kind of being all shy and insecure about it? No, you got out there and you made your way.
Well, I was afraid, but I did it afraid, as they all say, just do it anyway. So yeah, I think, yeah, you're right. Mindset change and also building the confidence. And I think confidence comes with actually doing things. I think if you're afraid and you just sit back, you're never going to get the confidence to do anything. And once you've started, I think it's a great, you know, you can build on that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah.
And people see it. People see it. And the thing is, I always saw it with Dio, right? Because I've seen you so many times in the mentorship program showing up That took guts because most of the people were in the United States. Dio's not, right? So you still showed up. You started your blog, or is it a newsletter, a blog? What do you call it?
Newsletter.
Started your newsletter. You started this podcast. All of these things take a lot of guts, right? And bravery. You didn't just sit back and say, I'm not going to try, because good golly, you're trying, right? So you will be successful because you have that confidence and that drive. And you can see it. I mean, you can see it. You can see people. That's why Bob, who's coming on this show as a guest, you know, you're one of his favorites, because you can see it in you, right? That confidence and that drive. And that's really exciting to see in someone who's new.
Yeah, and young, and still a student, though, I think.
Yeah.
It still has the energy.
Yes, still young, yeah.
Yeah, when you get to my age, it's like, getting up.
Yeah.
So, as a mentor, what have you gained from mentoring?
What do I gain from it?
Yeah.
I think it's that. I think that there are many people I've met in a mentoring role, who I like. They're all very nice, right? They're great. I enjoy talking with them. But every now and then you get somebody. And I've heard this from other mentors as well. You get someone who has that special spark, that drive I was talking about, Dio. And so what I learned over running four sessions of the mentorship program, I met a lot of young people coming into cybersecurity, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I met them, right? But there's 10, and I know exactly who they are, who I remember. There's 10 who I'm like, those are people who are definitely going to make it. Because even though they're new, they have that passion, that enthusiasm, that drive, that, you know what? There's going to be hurdles. It's going to be harder for me. But sometimes that makes it more fun, you know? You can surprise people. Those are the people that I think really make it worth it, in all the time that you spend. Those I love to see. I love to see them. And when they get their first job, it's exciting, because you're like, okay, now I see it. Now I see where you're going to go. There's one woman I spoke with a month ago or so who has a few years already. She's in application security engineering and wants to get more into it. And instantly I was like, reach out to me anytime, because for selfish reasons, I want to be known as someone who contributed to your success, because I know you're going to be a great success. So in 20 years, just remember your old friend over here, right? There's people like that. And that's what's exciting about it. That's what I gain the most out of it. Some people you talk with and you just like, that's the last time I'm going to talk with them, because I know they're not that driven. And that's okay. They'll go do something else that they're more driven about. That's okay. But there are some people you're like, oh, okay. I see you. You go on with your bad self. You know, there are people like that.
Yeah, I get that. I really do. There's some people who, it's not something that you can actually define. Sometimes it's just, you just see it and you just feel it when you're talking to the person. I mean, like, Dale approached me at a conference, and he said, I want to do a podcast. And I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And you know, a lot of people can say that and then not do anything about it. And then the next thing I know, he's reaching out and saying, this is the idea I've come up with, and I'm like, you run with it. I'll support you. So, yeah, that's I get that.
That's the difference. That's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
This call is about Dio. Let's talk about how great he is for the rest of the call.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm just in for the ride, right?
Yeah, we're just in for the ride.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're getting on to winding up, and these are Dio's questions. So if they're very short, you know, it's his fault. So what are the biggest mistakes newbies make when they get started in cybersecurity? What have you, in your experience?
I wrote a post today about it, actually. I'm not trying to get clicks, but on LinkedIn, if you go to my profile, you'll see it dated today.
Okay.
It's March 7th. So look for today's post, March 7th.
I'll include it in the show notes.
Oh, you are? Okay, perfect. Oh, yeah, you do. Okay, perfect. Thank you. I think the biggest thing is kind of what I wrote today. It's like you call yourself non-technical and you downplay yourself. And I see a lot of newbies doing that. If they're not highly technical, if they are, that's great, right? That's a great skill. But if you're not highly technical, you can still be a great success in cybersecurity. You can't call yourself non-technical. It's limiting. You're downplaying your skills. You call yourself, what I do is governance and strategy. You're on that side, which is just as important as the tech skills. Now, the only way this does work, and I say this all the time, you can't just do governance and strategy. You have to at least have some level of understanding of technology. You have to know how to read a pen test report. You have to know the basics of the foundations of configuring a firewall rule set. You have to understand cloud security infrastructure. You have to understand these things, but you don't need to be a coder. You don't need to be a hands-on server person who configures servers. You don't have to be that way. If you are, great, but if you're not, don't downplay yourself by saying that you're non-technical. You have to position yourself as, I'm an amazing strategic and governance leader. That's what I do. I understand technology. You wouldn't want me doing a pen test. It will take weeks for me to do a pen test. And there's better people to do that. But I do these other things really, really, really well. So don't put yourself into a box just because you don't really understand technology too well. You can learn technology, like I was saying earlier. You can learn it. But really focus on your governance and strategic skills and your communication skills. That will get you far.
Ooh.
That's a very good answer. So, hold on. Isn't Josephine, do you want to answer?
You're asking me the next one.
Okay. Did you have any role models when you were starting up in cybersecurity?
I think everybody was. I mean, I just thought it was so cool.
Oh, it was spoiled for choice.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wow, you guys are so cool. And I say guys because they were all guys. I'm like, wow, you guys were so cool. You know, they do pen tests. One of them did a pen test of a school and found out in a kid's record that he had peed into a cup and he got himself into trouble because he was telling other kids it was lemonade.
Oh, no.
So that one of the pen testing consultants was telling this story, and I thought, you are so cool to be like, you know, and I still have that. I still fangirl all the time. I mean, there are so many just amazing people out there. I can't even name them because if I name some, I will forget others, and I don't want to do that. So many. I mean, just open yourself up to people, you know, people who do different things than you do. They're so cool. So this industry has some of the best people in the world. I mean, we're all a little, you know, loco, right? And we're all a little nutty where we want to spend 24 hours a day overtime protecting people and protecting companies. I mean, how much better? I mean, you've got the military and you've got the police, right? All these other groups that protect people, but security people protect people too. And it's really great people in this industry. You just have to be confident and reach out. And they're out there, a lot of them.
Yeah. I would say for our listeners that you are very much a role model, Olivia. Oh,
thank you. I always say,
You don't agree?
Well, you know, it's hard to say that about yourself. I think that,
I think so.
If I'm a role model, I think I want to be known for being a role model for someone who came really out of nothing and mm-hmm. made something out of herself. And it was due to sheer determination and drive. And I have run into walls so many times that I finally figured out how to run around them instead of running into them. That's what I want, you know, people to know that if I were a role model, that's what I would be known for. You know, you can do it. You just need to get out there and do it.
Yeah. That's a good message to give out. So we've come to the end. First, I really, really want to appreciate you taking your time. I know you have a very busy schedule.
Of course.
We're going to start a long weekend because we have we celebrate International Women's Day. So tomorrow is a holiday for us.
No.
Yes.
Way.
Yes,
that's
we do.
Great.
Yeah, that's good. So, yeah. So I don't know if you have any, it's been a wonderful having you on the show and telling us about your experience. I know, I wish we would have had, you know, hours more so you could tell us everything, but I know we have to fit this within the time.
Yeah.
So do you have any parting shots for our listeners? You know, remember they are varied, they're in Uganda, they're in Kampala, they're perhaps Africa-based, there's women, there's young people. So would you have any parting shots for our listeners?
You know, it's just, like I was saying earlier, I know it's easier if situations were different. You know, you always think it would be so much easier if, you know, if I had this, if I had that, if I had more money, if I had more of this. I'm here to tell you, I came from no money. And I came over my own hurdles, believe me. And I still do. I work on them every day. You can do this. You have to define what makes you happy. Where do you want to be? And the answer to that is not necessarily CISO. It can be, there are many, many, many things you can do in cybersecurity. You don't have to be a CISO. There's so much other stuff. So figure out what that is and don't let hurdles become walls because that's in your head. Yes, it is going to be harder for you. It is. It would be easier if you had millions of dollars. Yes, right? It would be easier if your family was connected and lived next door to the CEOs of these big companies who would hire you. Yes, some people have luck, right? That's how they grew up next to CEOs. Don't use that as an excuse that you don't have it, whatever that is that's holding you back, as a reason, because once you do that, you're done. It's not going to happen for you. It's not. And I've lasted 22 years in this industry. And I have had a lot of difficulty being the only woman I knew for a very long time. But I didn't quit. Don't quit. So that's what I would share It seems harder. It is harder. That's life. But you can do it. Just don't give up. Keep the drive. Reach out to me.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's amazing. I love that message. Thank you so much for talking to us. It's been so nice. It's been lovely.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
Thank you for your time. Yeah.
Yeah, anytime.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Olivia, for coming. Thank you for honoring our invitation.
Of course.
Actually, the podcast, the next conversation which I would want our listeners to check out is David Elcock's. I actually had him on episode 7. So
That would be a good one. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, yeah, check it out. It should be on the screen somewhere. I'm yet to figure out how the YouTube guys do this side. Anyways, yes, it will be on the screen. Yeah, so yeah, I guess that's it.